So, Paul, what's the worst fucking premise for a comedy film you can come up with?
Have you seen That's My Boy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a genuinely fucking horrific premise for a film.
Yeah. Oh, and everyone looks really, really ugly. Yeah.
Let's do that. Okay. Let's film everyone so that they're the worst possible versions of themselves. It'll make our projected audience feel better.
About our worst possible versions of ourselves. Here, now.
Hello and welcome to One Good Thing, the podcast that's not asking for a finger up the ass, it just wants you to jerk it off a little bit. This is our worst episode. I'm Paul Berger.
I just love everything that's about to happen.
Everything that's about to happen is going to be wonderful for you, Paul Goodman.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm due a break.
I predict. It's a decade episode, which this year means we are using it to tackle the most infamously terrible movies of the year to see if they've been misunderstood or if they really do have Adam Sandler in them. And this time, it's That's My Boy!
Starring.
Oh!
Oh, shit!
All right, everybody. The fact that this has resulted in a pregnancy leaves me no choice but to levy the maximum penalty.
Take care of our baby, Donnie!
Dumbass.
So what'd the IRS say?
You haven't paid taxes since 94, Donnie.
I'm going to prison if I don't get 43 large.
Holy cow, that's my boy.
He moved out when he turned 18. I haven't seen him since.
He is one of the youngest hedge fund managers in the financial industry.
Maybe your son can help you.
Todd, your old man is here.
Donnie, what are you doing here?
What type of guy would miss his son's wedding?
You were basically the worst parent ever.
I was awesome.
You let me eat cake and lollipops for breakfast every day.
That's what you asked for.
You're supposed to say no.
I didn't know what I was doing. I was 13, 14 years old.
You know what I remember? Is me having to drive you home because you were too drunk.
Somebody's hammered. They have another guy drive home.
I was 8.
You drove like a champ, too.
Huh?
Last year, it was last black man in San Francisco. This year.
Written by some asshole named David Casper, who has no other notable credits to his name, and directed by Sex Drive, Hot Tub Time Machine, and Mr. Popper's Penguins director, Sean Anders. This film has uncredited rewrites by Adam Sandler, Tim Herlihy, Robert Smigel, David Wayne, and Ken Marino, all Sandler regulars, as are the producers, Jack Giraputo, Heather Parry, and Alan Covert. Remember the names, people. They all made this happen.
They're all dead now, though, so...
Just any one of them needs to ask, could he have done it without you?
I think yes and no. And when asked to elaborate, I can't. We're past that.
They're past that. Morality is past that. We're in a post-morality time now, thanks to Donald Trump and Adam Sandler. Anders went on to direct We're the Millers, Horrible Bosses 2, Dumb and Dumber 2, Daddy's Home, and Daddy's Home 2. So this man is American comedy.
Oh, fantastic.
Address all complaints to Mr. Anders.
Oh, okay. It really picking up where Dennis Dugan, you know, left or dropped it and forgot that he dropped it.
I think it was more like a relay, and I think they were both passing it back and forth. The dreadfulness.
Okay.
Of this world. Although this does seem to be his only dip into Sandland.
Well, one and done for most people. Even hacks need, a line.
You need the cool, refreshing wind that is Jason Bateman. And that's what pulls you through the worst of times and the best of times.
Yeah, for sure. We're getting back to this relay analogy. Is Dennis Dugan running 100 metres one way and then Sean Anders is running the 100 metres back, or are they both running in the wrong direction?
They're both running in opposite directions and just tossing the rod, which in this case represents the sort of modernity, the current situation of American comedy, back
and
between
a cock.
Each other. And a cock. Yeah. It represents that always.
Thank God. Okay.
Speaking of which, here's a sentence from Andy Samberg's biography on Wikipedia. In 2012, Samberg delivered the Class Day speech at Harvard University, and he starred in Adam Sandler's That's My Boy.
It's only downhill from there. It's never going to be that good again.
Stay in school. We're graduating from Harvard. It's not enough.
Stay there. Don't leave.
You don't know what I've seen. Never leave. Never embrace the practicalities of the modern world. Couldn't you have just stayed with a hit YouTube thing? You go fuck yourself, Billy.
Go fuck yourself all the way to the bank, son.
I need to get into the big boy movies, and the shortcut to doing so is that's my boy. Critics reacted to this film like finding both vomit and jizz on their wedding dress. Don't worry, everyone. None of these things, or any of the things in this movie, happened to anything even resembling a human being.
Yeah.
You won't be able to feel bad about any of this except for yourself.
It's freeing in a way.
Very much like truly losing your mind. It all just comes down to collateral.
Yeah.
Vadim Rizov at the Sight and Sound. The yep. Sight and Sound. The Sights and the Sounds.
The Sight and Sound. Not the general sense that we share as a species.
The overwhelming sensory experience that is our modern world says. The message is plain. Party, act badly, scorn responsibility as the realm of pussies, and good things will follow. For better and mostly worse, That's My Boy is a truly American film.
Yay! USA. Yay. USA. Yeah, pretty much. As long as someone else is more of a loser, lame-o than you are, then you win.
You can always feel good, no matter how absolutely horrific your life is. So long as you're friends with Vanilla Ice and some other cuck isn't.
As long as your son's...
Job's good.
As long as your son's going to be marrying a hoe, then who also doesn't put out, then jobs are good. Best out.
Yeah. It's the worst thing a woman can do.
No!
I'm so angry all the time at everyone. And it's not my fault. None of it is.
None of it.
The public, on the other hand, reacted to the film like fucking white people. Every quote is a dagger in my heart. Anita Dunham on Google said... So this may be Adam's worst movie by far. It has tired, unfunny humor that fails to make you laugh once. Racism, no ties to reality. Ties is T-Y-S-E. There's a ton of filler. Adam Sandler uses his annoying voice, and it's rated R, so not even kids will be able to find his humor funny in this. 161 people found that helpful, including myself.
Yeah, I signed in as you as well, Goodman, and gave that a little helpful thumbs up. That's pretty much it.
Pretty much captures it.
It's funny, like the racism didn't even sink in, but now I think about it, it's like, oh yeah, a little bit. That's a bit.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah. Absolutely horrific.
Yeah, I was just insensate to all isms except my own jism.
That's somehow beautiful? I don't know. I'm gonna have to have somebody explain it to me.
I think I'm not very happy with what I just said, but I think it is funnier than That's My Boy.
Well, that's all that matters. And again, so long as there is somebody less fortunate than you, then you can truly hold yourself to be a man, my son.
Yeah, thank you. Hang on. Jism. Yeah, still funnier than That's My Boy.
It's still funnier. Yeah. Oh, wow, the pools have really moved through this intro sequence quite fast. Well, strap yourselves fucking in, folks, because it's time for the three-man.
Okay.
Some of the more interesting three-man include Ian Zerling, who was in Sharknado 3, Sharknado 4, and That's My Boy.
Great.
Brad Grunberg, who was in Grown Ups 2, Spy Hard, and That's My Boy. And as a foreman, we've got Roger Brenner, who was in New Year's Eve, The Goldfinch, Amazing Spider-Man 2, and That's My Boy.
Wow, that's really there. Across the board.
Yeah, but now it's time for the Happy Madison family.
Roster.
We have Dana Goodman and Julia Leah Woolov, who were both in Bucky Larson and the Ridiculous Six and That's My Boy.
Okay.
Sadie and Sonny Sandler, who are in The Ridiculous Six, The Wrong Missy, and That's My Boy, which are the same three movies as Vanilla Ice.
Coincidence? I think not.
I think nicht. Will Forte, who was in Grown Ups 2, The Ridiculous Six, and That's My Boy.
Yeah, stop trying to make me like Will Forte people I meet that don't know about this podcast, because he hasn't done very much to win me over. 30
we're
Rock,
definitely
going to...
We're going to get into the people who haven't watched these movies very soon, and there will be a reckoning, I assure you.
I assure you.
Wait, have you seen Punch Drunk Love? Yes.
Yes,
have you seen Grown Ups 2, Bucky Larson, Jack and Jill, That's My Boy, The Ridiculous Six, Love, Marriage and Other Disasters?
I have.
Have you? I will. I will again.
I will again.
I live, I die, I live again, goddammit. And I do so all the while watching Grown Ups 2.
Yes,
will
I've
Forte.
Seen Uncut Gems. But I had
it's
more
irrelevant.
I had more of a panic attack watching Jack and Jill twice.
It is a cursed life we live. Speaking of which, with 4 credits each, we have Peter Dante, who is in Bucky Larson, Grown Ups 2, Jack and Jill, and That's My Boy.
Yep.
J.D. Donnarumma, who is in Bucky Larson, Jack and Jill, The Ridiculous Six, and That's My Boy. Denis Dugan, who is in Grown Ups 2, Jack and Jill, Love, Marriage, and Other Disasters, and That's My Boy.
Who is he in That's My Boy? Sorry to break your flow.
You're going to have to find out. Go find Denis Dugan.
Go away.
And demand that he inform you of who he played in That's My Boy. Mm. Meanwhile, in terms of five men, we have Robert Harvey, who was in Grown Ups 2, Bucky Larson, Jack and Jill, The Wrong Missy, and That's My Boy.
Christ.
Dan Patrick, who was in Grown Ups 2, Jack and Jill, Pixels. Let's not forget that. The Ridiculous Six and That's My Boy. And then we have two very special seven men. Nick Swardson and Adam Sandler were both in Grown Ups 2, Jack and Jill, Pixels, The Ridiculous Six, and That's My Boy. But individually, Swardson was in Bucky Larson and The Wrong Missy, and Sandler was in Spanglish and Mixed Nuts. So seven each. Our new joint champions.
Oh, God.
First place for number of appearances in the movies that we've covered, with 8 credits each.
Oh.
Chris Titone and, of course, Jackie Sandler were both in Bucky Larson, Grown Ups 2, Jack and Jill, Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, Pixels, The Ridiculous Six, The Wrong Missy, and That's My Fucking Boy.
We didn't start the fire.
Oh, free to a man, free in a bush, free, free, yo. The film's a shit, mate.
Does he make Jackie Sandler appear in the ones that even he doesn't fucking want to?
Even he's not going to be in.
Go
maybe
on, Jackie.
She is. She is his representative on this earth, and God damn her for that.
She's been promising
she
us
be
all
judged.
Of his return.
She will be judged in the end, as shall we all.
And lo, verily, hath ye seen Uncut Gems? Yes!
No! If Adam Sandler sees paradise before us, then I'm issuing a very strongly worded letter of complaint to God. Ugh.
Add it to the list.
It is easier for a camel to fit through the eye of the needle than for the Hurley-hee boy to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's My Boy has 20% on Rotten Tomatoes, 31% on Metacritic, 2.3 out of 5 on Letterboxd, fuck me, and appears to have bombed at the box office. Don't worry, Sandler, Netflix awaits.
Netflix got your boy.
It got your boy. Now, Paul, you imbecilic, immature, asinine, childish, caveman-like, hairy-knuckled, single-chromosomal, obnoxious, uneducated, ignorant asshole who I would like to fuck hard and long. What's one thing about That's My Boy that made you want to steal your middle school librarian's glasses to wear whilst you masturbated? This is our worst episode.
It might well be. I'm going to live the anger. I'm going to wear it on my sleeve, mate. Wear it on my sleeve all the way to the gym. The appellation for me there, that joke, that was very good, because when that woman started on that line, I went, oh, I know how this is going to end, and it did end that
way. Yeah, it did end that way, and what I like is comedy that meets my expectations.
Yeah, I'm sick of people trying to smash my expectations. Everyone disagrees with me all the time. They keep yelling stuff in my face, and it's nice that a joke agreed with me.
Agreed with me and my worldview, and I find that a seldom realized experience now as a man in my 30s, and I'm terrified of everything, but Adam Sandler got my back, boy.
It got right back at my back. I don't know
it at
or
me
trust you.
And my girl.
Yeah.
And I rate that? I don't know.
I'm furious. That's my girl.
Paul, it would be lit if you could tell me what happens in That's My Boy.
I hope I don't get chocolate wasted.
The way I'm recounting the plot right now.
Dot, dot, dot. Kids.
No, full stop. That's what people say.
Oh, my God.
That's what
God.
They say, Paul.
Oh, no, you shouldn't.
Oh, that's so 2017. Anyway.
Well, 5 years before that, this film comes out. And
this film came out, and the music and logos assure us that we're in Sandaland. And I just want to appreciate my word check trying to change that into Sunderland. Welcome to Sunderland, everyone.
The Sunderland
is how it works here.
No, the Sunderland of cinema is... No, it's not Ken Loach, because that would be like a gentrified centre of Sunderland. Anyway, I'm trying already to not talk about this film, but we have to.
We don't have time to unpack the cinematic legacy of the Tyneside and the general sort of northeastern area.
So we'll talk about That's My Boy instead. Yeah.
We're going to talk about That's My Boy, and we start with three kids and... Ah!
Some numb nuts, read 'em and weep, Van Halen at the Central, third row...
You should take Jolene, man. I heard she got big nipples.
This is Van freaking Halen, man. Get serious. Besides, I'm just not into girls anymore.
Dude, I'm into guys, too.
No. That's not what I meant. I'm into women.
One of them is so clearly Adam Sandler, and it makes me very sad immediately because the kid does a really good job of pretending to be Adam Sandler. And is that his son? Is that his son, Paul? Because it could be.
Look, I'm not going to rule that as Sonny Sandler, but I will just say I really hate how all human beings look in these things.
Yes, but the important thing is it doesn't matter how anyone looks, Paul, because everyone can agree that we should all be cheering Adam Sandler immediately. And it's only a couple of minutes until it turns out that everyone, including the teacher, wants to fuck him.
Indeed. And that child is erect. We're 2 minutes in.
Yes, I noted that too. Uh-oh, the young boy has an erection. This is going to be good.
And the reason he has an erection is because young Adam Sandler's teacher is super hot, as Busted might have sang. Nobody knows. Nobody has any of the formats that will allow them to play a Busted song anymore.
Fountains of Wayne, though. It's always spinning, even in the past. And Just shut up, brain. It's not a thing that many say.
It doesn't make sense.
But it doesn't have to in this world. The young teacher, well, Adam Sandler the kid says pretty much, "Hey, teacher, let's do some sex." And she is like, "Hey, that's so wrong. I'm not gonna punish that in any way. Really, come to detention." And hey, maybe we should. Let's just do a sex.
You have a little crush on me?
No.
No. So, you don't want me?
No. Yeah. I don't know what I'm supposed to say right now.
You know, I've been watching you all year, Donnie. When you hit that shot to beat Fairfield and you were jumping up and down in your little Larry Bird short shorts and sweating like a jar of pickles in the hot sun. God, that was so hot.
Is this really happening?
This is happening.
They do a sex. They have sex a lot, in fact.
They have some
statutory rape. Yeah. Well, yes, indeed. And yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, it's all very good stuff until they get found. Until at a school assembly, they get uncovered. And yeah, everybody just loves it. Woo! Way to get statutory raped, kid.
Yeah, Adam Sandler. Woo! And that's how the movie
amazing.
Starts. With everyone already cheering Adam Sandler.
And his amazing powers at having his cherry physically taken off of him.
Fantastic.
So she's also pregnant. So get sentenced to 30 years in prison. And
yes,
he'll have to look after the kid.
Yes, and the judge during this trial does remind everybody that this is statutory rape and it's not actually a cool thing, but she's extremely ugly, Paul.
That's true.
So it's both funny and never trust her.
It's all stuff we can get behind. And this was America before Trump. So I think you can see that it was all getting ready.
Jesus Christ.
So obviously for getting raped by his teacher, he becomes a legend and a celebrity.
A bloody legend, mate, who everyone loves.
Bloody legend.
He's out there buying everyone beers because that's how everybody operates. And
he's just a party boy.
He's a party boy. Blows all of his court settlement money. And, no, we've got to move forward because I can't fucking stand this film. His weird-looking accountant in the present day tells him weirdly that he owes a whole bunch of money. So he goes...
He never paid any taxes. What a hero.
What? That's crazy.
Shit.
I literally can't believe it. Oh, well, best go and talk to my stripper, who's also weird-looking.
Well, first of all, here's just a thing that's going to mean that you get, you know, the situation solves itself at the end. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
You think the audience won't just know that this is going to come good at the end? Yeah, they'll forget.
They'll forget because it's such a stupid, dumb throwaway line, and I assume that it was just another opportunity for a fat joke.
Well, there's always that.
There's always that, you see. That's what they don't tell you. Adam Sandler movies are smart because you're like, is this a fat joke or is this an actual stupid plot device? It's both.
You never know. But he goes to the club where there is, as you mentioned, a stripper who is sort of grotesquely dressed down by the camera.
Yeah, and she's eating a lot during stripping. Yeah. So it's all very funny. It's ticking all the right boxes for me. A fan of the good Adam Sandler movies. Have you seen all the gems?
That includes Nick Swardson being here.
Oh, he's there. And I was very, very happy to see him there. I'm so happy I had to shout, Nick Swardson, you fucking cunt, at the top of my voice. I'm so happy.
It's the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they all recommend that he get back together with his son, who's now super loaded and going under a different name. Yeah. He's Andy Samberg.
And he's only struggling with, like, mild multi-generational trauma.
Yeah, you know, just because he had a horrific upbringing doesn't mean that he should be in any way lesser of a man. So he's marrying a rich
girl. Yeah.
And he's got a boss who also just looks horrific.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and his
Jesus.
New brother-in-law is this army dude.
Peter Petrelli. Yeah,
and he likes to go around friending people, saying, I'll stick my army issue revolver up your ass and empty the clip. The army doesn't issue revolvers, and revolvers don't have clips.
I mean, that plays out, though, Paul.
It's a clue to all the weird gun-obsessed weirdos in the audience who will know, hang on a minute, there's something suspect about this guy.
And I trust Adam Sandler to know that this was intentional. So there's got to be something afoot. But yeah, he's very aggressive. And it's like, what's the word? I hate it. Because
that's
everyone
the
is
word.
Horrible to Andy Samberg. I almost said Adam Sandler, but of course that isn't true.
Well, rightly so. The guy's a cuck.
Yeah, he's such a cuck. He's incredibly well adjusted given the circumstances, but everyone fucking hates the fact that he's just not weird looking in any way. He doesn't have any weird like sociopathic tendencies. And he's not chocolate wasted.
I've been around this prick for about 10 minutes and he has yet to yell woo and jump into a pool. The guy's a fucking loser.
Yeah.
So,
why can't he be more like him and they just look at Nick Swardson with his mullet and he's wanking.
We cut back to Adam Sandler. Oh, Jesus. It's the voice every time. Every time we go back. I have to readjust.
Oh, my God. You must be Jamie. You're like even harder than you looked in the paper. Look at your hair blowing in the wind like Tawny Katane when she was fucking dry humping that car.
Okay.
It's just little Nicky again.
Oh, it's so good. So
I love his ability to do that voice again.
He goes to see his agent and bumps into Vanilla Ice, who's here to do the typical Sandler cameo. I write not knowing what awaits me.
Yeah, and I thought this was going to be one of those, because he's first introduced by the back of the head, and I thought, oh, they're going to do a joke of, imagine if that was Vanilla Ice, but they've just got a stand-in. But no, it's Vanilla Ice, because that's just who he rolls
with. No, of course
it's
Vanilla Ice. We know that it is. That he always gets inexplicable guest stars into his movie. Well, Vanilla Ice is less inexplicable than some of his others, but we'll come to some of them.
Yeah, but Paul, the last Adam Sandler film that I saw wasn't one of these. It was one of his other ones that someone else did. And I forgot. Okay.
And that had knockoff Vanilla Ice in it. Oh, God.
No. I just forgot that he got Vanilla Ice in. I forgot that he'd been in his other movies. So I was like, that's just the back of some dude's head. Oh, it is Vanilla Ice.
He's got ice powers. Anyway, he's got ice pull. So he goes to see his agent. And fuck, I hate the way every prick looks in these movies.
Oh, yeah.
And, a John Wayne Bobbitt reference. That's timeless.
Oh, great. It didn't even register just because of how absolutely nothing it was.
Just because of how absolutely you understand that reference and how natural it is for you to think about John Wayne Bobbitt, as does America, I expect.
Yeah, in fact, that's only the third time that I've heard that phrase. And, the second time was 7 seconds ago. And it just feels perfectly normal, perfectly congruous.
John Wayne Bobbitt is always 7 seconds away. Nana Sherry understood that. And
it was
I
a warning
just
to the
much.
Rest of us.
It was. So he meets with his agent and it's like, hey, if you can get your son to reunite with the teacher that raped you, I'm sure I can get you 5 minutes on, TV and 40 grand, sure.
Sure, why the fuck not? You're a legend, I guess.
People are starving in this world. So I do my first time check, 23 minutes in. Oh no.
Uh oh. Well, we better have another shot with Nick Svartzen. He's going to have to go and see his son eventually.
I can barely look at Adam Sandler in this movie. I'm so embarrassed and angry that I just want to keep writing this note and not look back at the screen and see his fucking face. Help me. I don't want to stop writing this note.
It's you can, like, please continue, mate, if it helps. I just want you to be happy. I can help for a little bit. But
let's just get out of here because, I'm so glad that there's a sassy grandma here. He's at the wedding. He gets to the wedding, and he reunites with his son. Yeah. And oh boy, there's gonna be hijinks now.
William,
is that back? Because I've been dying for that to come back.
What's up? Boy, look at him. He ain't a tight ass.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
I don't know how to tell you this, mate. Everybody fucking loves Adam Sandler. They love everything that he's doing. They love the fact that he's coming in and being sexually inappropriate and sort of sexually harassing people and just commenting on everybody's looks straight away. He's chucking beers at people. Good. Peter Petrelli loves him.
Peter Petrelli, is that the guy who was the best man who then gives up the best man?
No, Peter Petrelli is Milo Ventimiglia, who is the army guy.
I don't know what these words are. Oh, brilliant. That's
Peter
good
Petrelli
stuff.
Is the hero's is his character in Heroes. For everyone playing along at home, Peter Petrelli or Milo Ventimiglia also played Rick Rape in Gamer. So that's
yay.
So you know, there's a thing to think about.
Oh, thank God, America has such a dominance over our culture. It's the best thing for the entire world. I'm so sure. I'm a British man. You're a British man living in Australia. Why aren't we free of this? Why not invest within our own mistake? Oh, run for your wife. That's right.
Yeah, run for your wife and
And the terrible things that Australia have done. Trojan Warrior, that'll do.
Yeah, whatever. I don't fucking care anymore. I'm dead inside. Everyone loves Adam Sandler. Inside. And if anything, Adam Sandler showing up just makes it harder for Andy Samberg to be accepted. It wasn't going well anyway, but now Andy Samberg's just trying to not have a total nervous breakdown as he's reunited with his father who bullied him throughout his entire childhood and just tells him that he's a pussy if he's not getting over it.
Your whole aura is actually that of a pussy or a kiss ass.
It is not.
Yep.
And his
stuff.
And he pretends that it's his long lost friend because he told everybody that his dad had died.
Oh yeah. In an explosion.
And yeah.
And so obviously the thing to do is to make Adam Sandler the best man now. The current best man decides that, and that's how that works. I hand off the torch to you, sir.
Yeah.
Oh boy. The potential, the wacky potential of Adam Sandler being your best man. I can feel that the stakes have been raised. And how do I quit Zoom?
You can't.
What do you mean, mate? I can't? What do you mean that's a premium feature? Jesus.
No, Adam Sandler has control over this. It doesn't own Zoom, but it's through a favor from their new owner, Vanilla Ice.
Oh, shit, son! Yeah. So at this stage, my notes become somewhat abstract.
Okay.
Baseball scene.
Baseball scene is just another opportunity for everybody to hate on the femininity of Andy Samberg, for he does not love ball sports.
And women can off do ball sports.
Yes, except for the women in this game. Who are very good. And his, I think his wife calls him a pussy. Or no, a vagina. So that's good. And
that's very good. To associate all things feminine with what is weak and inferior.
Yeah. And even a 10-year-old child can throw the baseball with superhuman strength. Not just well, but with superhuman strength. That's confusing the message, I feel. But the main takeaway.
Empowered just by Andy Samberg's sheer lack of sportsmanlike ability.
Everyone realizes they hate him. It's very good. Adam Sandler.
It's extremely good.
Continues just telling fabricating stories of how they met that further puts shade on Andy Samberg and drives the entire family against him. But we start to get the sense that his wife is not very nice to him, or his fiance is not very nice to him either, which makes Sandler the hero of this story, everyone.
He is the hero. So let's cut to the end. Who... Here's some more. Who the fuck are these women? There are just women everywhere, and it's terrifying to me and to Adam Sandler,
and
who
to Adam
reacts
Sandler.
Only through toxic masculinity. Swartzen in the closet.
Uh-oh. Moving on.
Sandler sticks his dick in his face.
Cool.
Yep, that happens in the night. 42 minutes. Oh, boy. Jesus,
wow.
No.
Well, the next note I've got, mate, James Caan is here, everyone. Hey.
Yes, James Caan. Oh, I did write masturbation scene, but let's just sample it for the ladies and gents at home. There you go, everyone. Okay. Enjoy that.
Jeez, I'm cruel. You really were a model, weren't you, Grandma? Yeah. Oh, Mr. Woolworth really knew how to pick him, didn't he? I love that old-time bathing suit. I could take it to the speakeasy and we could do the naked Charleston. I have to ship out in the morning to fight the Nazis, so you better give me something to remember. What's that? Oh, my God. Old lady grandma wants to get in on the action, too. Should we let her? I think we should. Oh, my God. Oh, why do I like her better right now? Oh, you fuck. What have you done to me? What have you done to me? We gotta go for round two, but give me a little bit of time. Give me a little bit of time.
Delicious.
Yay.
James Caan is here.
And he's this motherfucker is working his way through the Godfather cast.
Fucking gotta do something in your winter years.
My father beat me every day with a rake. But you don't hear me smack talking him like some baby little princess not here in the house of the Lord.
All of this is less embarrassing than they had Al Pacino doing. I don't think Adam Sandler has worked with Robert De Niro, but Robert De Niro has very much taken it upon himself to match his friends.
Robert De Niro is doing everything he fucking can, so don't worry about him. James Caan is here to tell Andy Samberg that it doesn't matter how bad your dad is, you can't criticize him. Anyway, my dad beat me, so it was much worse than the trauma you shared, so your trauma's meaningless. Let's move on.
And then he fights him with his fists. Yeah. And it's very good.
And then Adam Sandler saves the day by wanging James Caan on the head with an empty bottle, and everyone's furious at Andy Samberg.
Oh.
But Adam Sandler steps in and says, "No, I control the goodwill, and I demand that you show some of it to Andy Samberg, my son." Yes, it is I, Adam Sandler. And everybody said, "God, Adam Sandler, you're so fucking forgiving. I fucking love you, mate." And Andy Samberg, whatever, get in the fucking boot, dickhead. And yeah, stag do.
Yeah, stag do. Halfway point.
Uh-oh.
So they go to a spa, which is obviously not nearly aggressively misogynistic enough for the people involved. Although Sandler does manage to turn it into a palace of worship for his genitals.
Yes.
Yeah, as people should all businesses be.
One day, hopefully. Some people start to get a bit annoyed with Adam Sandler, but it doesn't last long.
How could it, mate? He's a legend.
With these kinds
of
jokes.
So they go to a strip club instead.
Yeah.
Sandberg meets the girl he's obviously going to end the movie with.
Yeah, nail pegged it.
Because she's not a stuck-up sort, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and she doesn't. She probably likes giving blowies, unlike his fiance, who's proper frigid, mate.
And so here I've written ear piercing, which I realize now is a description of the scene in which he gets his ear pierced, and not just my review of the film.
Yeah, but it also functions as that, so you've saved yourself a lot of time. Whilst you're going to update your letterbox. Everybody comes out of the stag do having such a wonderful time. They all start laughing like Adam Sandler. And then they go.
Vanilla Ice shows up.
Vanilla Ice shows up because why the fuck not?
Yep.
He's here for the day.
He's here. And they ruin a lot of people's nights.
Oh, horrifically so. They ruin a lot of people's nights with GBH, with
Indecent exposure,
firing a gun into the air and into a window. Yeah. Well, I can only imagine that the ice skating rink would have led to the loss of multiple fingers. But then they have a lovely bonding moment after bullying Andy Samberg about his fatness as a child. But they get him to ride a bike because that's how he healed trauma, kids.
Yep. And then there's more naked, overweight people after that. And then he goes and fucks the grandma.
Yay! Oh, just before that, they have a what's called a nice moment
with the bikes. We already said so.
No, there's another one outside the house, mate.
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Listen. They have a nice moment, which is earned. It's very earned, and it's very seamless how Adam Sandler can flip from being a sociopath to being a nice dad. And he says, I'm sorry. And Andy Samberg says something along the lines of, yeah, I probably deserved it anyway. And that's also how you heal trauma. That's also how Excellent. You get over all of that. And then he fucks the grandma.
Yeah, then he fucks the grandma and Samberg fucks the wedding dress. Yeah. Then the following morning turns out that he spunked and puked all over the wedding dress and Sandler and Vanilla Ice ran a train on grandma. It's a beautiful moment for everyone to appreciate.
I love how the rewards have panned out so far.
Yes, and now it's time for Susan Sarandon to enter the film.
Yes, I better go off and fix the wedding dress, says Annie Sandberg 2 minutes later. I fixed it. Anyway, now I'm going to see Susan Sarandon. So,
yes.
Yeah, here we are.
They go, they have an interaction.
Yeah.
And the camera crew shows up, outing Sandberg as an opportunist and a fraud.
Sandler.
Well, whoever, both of them. Sandberg... Sandlerberg gets tased and shits himself again.
Yeah.
Just live the dream, Harvard alumni.
Is it too much of a sore spot to kick him while he's down? Nah. Cuck shit himself.
Ugh. Nice.
Did you get that?
Love
I did get it.
That for him.
We're broadcasting
the host. Live. The host of the show is very happy about the footage they've gathered of a barely audible conversation followed by the two men running out and getting tased. It's going to be Pulitzer winning stuff.
That's American TV, mate, and it's golden stuff. And
you can eke those 3 minutes of footage out to an hour easily just by anticipating and then recounting the footage before and after every advertisement break, which is every 2 minutes.
It has to be nowadays.
Yeah, it does. So... thanks to Trump's America. So Sandler finds America out that the mean fiance is cheating on him.
Uh-oh.
She tries to talk her way out of it.
All is justified.
All is justified. I really wish the physical harm had come to her now, and maybe hope that it shall. For I am a man, and I feel that this woman has broken her social contract and obligation to men and displayed agency, and now I want her punished for this in as severe terms as possible.
Yeah, look, because I'm a man, and I believe a lot of wild stuff about women, and I'm just glad that this film gets me.
I'm just glad that this film appreciates the fact that sometimes you can be a perfectly nice guy like Andy Samberg with no issues whatsoever.
Yeah.
And your bitch will just be cheating on you, yo, for no reason. Because
for no
bitches be bitching.
Gosh dang reason, chaps.
Thanks, Sandler.
Yeah,
so,
thanks, Dad.
But it's worse than that, though, because it turns out she's actually doing an incest. Oh, no, with Army Dude.
And he's not even in the Army. He's a dancer, which is worse than incest.
Oh, no, he's also somewhat effeminate. I hope James Caan shoots everyone. He's back, by the way.
He's a legend. I'm sorry I wanged you on the head. It's just what bros do. So we're getting to the wedding now, but Adam Sandler's kind of made a few mistakes now. And everybody's like, oh, I tell you, if you make 7 or 8 more of these, mate, you'll be out of here. So he's on thin ice. And speaking of ice, there's only one other man that can help him get to the wedding at probably the same speed as he would have done without him. Vanilla Ice.
Yeah. Yay.
He's living where poor people live.
Love that. Love
Imagine
that for
being
him.
Poor.
They get to the wedding and they disrupt everything. And Adam Sandler has a heartfelt speech in which he explains that love isn't this cold bureaucratic thing that you and this girl have. It's what I had when I was statutory raped.
Yeah.
We're doubling down on that being endearing. It's May December, but without the moral ambiguity.
Without anything,
so
really.
The truth comes out. The woman is thoroughly shamed and beaten to death, if I remember correctly. At least that's the vibe of the scene.
I mean, probably. They're playing Home Alone rules, but it's...
Yeah, that's right. She gets Harry and Marved and just fucking eviscerated.
Yeah, if Harry would have been Marved as well as Harried, you know, he wouldn't have walked away from that.
No, neither of them would have survived even half of what each of them went through. So the idea of going through both...
Maybe you come out the other side and you're fine.
Yeah. That's some real slasher movie shit. So, truth comes out. They go to the bar. He's about to go to jail, but the fat guy wins the marathon, and that's the end.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. I have earned and learned nothing.
Neither of them have, except that Andy Samberg has learned to man up.
Yeah, he's learned to man up, grow a pair, and just effectively just get chocolate wasted, I think, is the message of the movie.
I think that will always be the message of an Adam Sandler film. What an absolutely loathsome film this was. And
yeah,
it's very interesting. It's that same way in which you can't viscerally remember pain, you know? Like, you can break an arm, but you can't specifically remember what it feels like.
Yeah.
The moment of it. And I feel like it's been a while since we did a new Sandler film. And the sheer lack of, not only lack of value, but the presence of just spiritually destroying adolescent nonsense.
Yeah.
And the lack of sincerity that means it's impossible to engage with, because anyone who catches you saying, oh, well, spiritually this movie's a bit bankrupt, will just say, huh, you know, it's just a bit of fun. You know, they're not taking it seriously, why should you? And it's just so lacking in any kind of backbone whilst being toxic that it is just utterly contemptuous. This and it's not funny.
And it's not funny, and it's a bad movie. My problem with this, and I feel like the plot retelling was kind of low on jokes, because the anger smoothed out, like it filled all the grooves in which comedy exists, and it just made it this sort of this plateau of rage for me, and I was so wary of coming across as, or you know, if your typical Adam Sandler fan were to listen to this episode and the ranting that's going to follow, they're just going to think, well, two pretentious lefty liberals can't take a joke, having it, you know, they're getting triggered about you know, the absolute fucking stupidity that is this film. And I'm sort of, I found myself hit with this quandary, this impasse of, do I give in to the rage and just be properly justifiably angry about it for the reasons you've mentioned, or do I take a step back and be apathetic? But I really do think that it deserves the anger because of the one thrust of the only joke in this movie, with all Adam Sandler movies, isn't that weird? Doesn't he look weird? She's old and they're having sex. Oh, he's fat and he's running. Oh, look at the stripper. She's fat and eating while she's stripping. Oh, Nick Swardson's here. What a fucking joke. He's got his hands down his pants. That's weird. That's a weird thing to do. And it's just that. And it's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's just on every level. Like sight and sound and just the overall like touch and feel of the thing is so fucking horrible. It just wears me down. And then the laziness the toxicity of it, the overall message was just so gross. It was so fucking grody at the end. It was, you know, Adam Sandler may have been a bit of a legend and a bad dad, but hey, look, he taught his son to man up, and his son is no longer with that frigid bitch. It's just so hateful and so fucking stupid. And I fucking hate the fact that he continues to be able to make these.
Indeed, it is a very depressing fact. I'll come on to a couple of points there, but first, just another point to do with the general technical incompetence of the people who make these films. Yeah. I think the reason that the run times of these movies are always so frightening and such an intimidating prospect, and why it feels like they move so slowly, and why time checks are always horrifying, because they always reveal that you're so much less into the film than you thought, is because nothing is ever set up. There are no possibilities or avenues in which you become curious about what might happen next.
Yeah.
All that happens is things will play out exactly as you expect in these long vignettes where nothing will be moved on. All you will have long sequences in which they find a way for Adam Sandler to just do Adam Sandler stuff in a different setting. Yeah. There's not going to be any progression. The plot points of this movie are Adam Sandler is lying to Adam Sandberg. Adam Sandberg's fiance is lying to him. He will find out about both. He will confront both, and then he will come to terms with his dad whilst rejecting his fiance.
Yeah.
That's the two things that will happen here. Those are the two dramas, and it will be resolved very quickly with no twists or turns. There is like a feint. There is a moment where Adam Sandler finds out the wife is cheating, a wife-to-be is cheating, and then he is made to seem like the unreasonable one, and then that is uncovered. But these are subsequent scenes that this is uncovered. There's no tension or dramatic tension where you might wonder what's going to happen or be taken by surprise.
Yeah.
It's thoroughly predictable and just horrific for being so, because it means you're just waiting for things to happen.
Yeah.
And it's very depressing.
It is very depressing. It's no longer, I think when we were watching Jack and Jill, we took some solace in the fact that it bombed. And that's no longer solace for me.
Well,
it doesn't encourage me, because he's still here. He's still here and doing things and doing his SNL character ideas.
He is. He's doing them on a significantly smaller scale, it seems, because he is just doing them for Netflix. I haven't had to be troubled with the knowledge that there is an Adam Sandler film out for quite a long time. Like, they barely make the Netflix front page anymore when you log on there. They certainly do not. He's abandoned cinema. Cinema was of no interest to him.
Yeah.
You know, it was merely a means of making money. And now that Netflix is able to support him, he doesn't give a fuck about the medium. Now, regarding Sandler fans, I think, first of all, they don't necessarily follow political lines, although I'm sure that some sort of reactionary types will absolutely delight in this. I do think some I know that some progressives enjoy this.
Yeah.
Simply, I guess, by merit of thinking that it is ironic, that the portrayal is over the top on purpose in order to portray a certain kind of masculinity in a satirical way.
Mm.
But I think that's giving far too much credit to Sandler, who ultimately just seems to want to go along this well-meaning but incredibly naive kind of thing that he is utterly uncritical of, as are the writers and directors of his films. So, the best you can say is just, you know, boys will be boys kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's pretty nauseating for those of us who feel that is no longer a sufficient excuse for wanton misogyny and racism, as this film espouses.
Yeah, I think Sandler's movies take place in such a one-dimensional world that, especially when you've seen enough of them, as have we, you get pretty used to it pretty fast. And when a crowd is cheering Adam Sandler for, you know, being raped or for just coming in and harassing a bunch of people, and that means everybody loves him because he's cool, it doesn't have the same vibe, say, as Meet the Parents came to mind during this movie. Sure.
Is actually a South Park episode about this. There is a South Park episode in which it turns out that Kyle's younger brother Ike is being molested essentially by a teacher, an attractive teacher at the school, a female teacher. And there's a scene where I think Kyle goes into... Is Kyle Ike's brother? I can't remember if it's Kyle or Stan. Yeah, Kyle. Yeah. Kyle goes into the police station and says, you know, my sibling, I can't remember how they phrase it, but it's in such a way that the gender is neutral, but it says something like, my sibling is being insulted in school. And they're all like, oh no, this is terrible. You know, we're going to do something about this sick bastard right away. And he's like, oh no, it's a woman. And it's like, it's my brother being molested by a female teacher. And they're all like, nice. Double standard. Yeah. But it's clearly, like, in portraying that, it is clearly making fun and sort of horrifically picking that apart.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. And you know that. And with Adam Sandler, it really feels like having your cake and eating it too. And the same goes for whenever, you know, his characters, and this film is particularly bad for it, I feel like his bad behavior is rewarded just by dint of script, by, you know, he can turn around and despite having shown no emotional intelligence whatsoever. He can turn around in the middle of the movie and have a heart-to-heart with his son. That is a nice moment, and there's a couple of quick fires that I got out of that. But it's in the context of that scene, whereas in the context of the wider movie, it is meaningless, because there is, like, you can't just stick that in unearned. But when the rest of the movie is everybody cheering Sandler for every horrible thing that he does.
Yes. Facing movie, no consequence.
And the movie begins and ends with a crowd pretty much cheering Adam Sandler, or cheering Andy Samberg's Sandlerization, because he does become his dad come the end. At the end of the movie, he's basically like, fuck you, bitch. I'm my dad now.
The whole thing at the wedding's that.
Yeah. And I can, you know, it's not the same as Happy New Year, Colin Burstead, at the end when his brother is playing that song and the family are all warming to him. And you sort of, you feel crazy for Neil Maskell as everything goes out of favor for him. It's not that, because
there's no Neil Maskell.
There's no Neil Maskell.
If there is, and if there is, he's thoroughly the villain. You know, he's off, you know, begrudging the fact that the world is designed for the Adam Sandlers of the world, and that he's just too much of a
pussy.
You know, of a pussy to act like Adam Sandler, which is what every guy wants to do, but various, you know, just are suited or are not, and Sandler has that natural gift at it.
Yeah.
And it's just nothing is earned. It's just who he is, and he's constantly rewarded for it.
Yeah.
But I think we've each thought about other comedy things. Because ultimately, you know, the humor here is juvenile, it's grotesque, it's gross out, it's immature, and it's incredibly silly. And there's a lot of humor out there that we've enjoyed along those lines.
Yeah, of course.
Various Auntie Donna sketches come to mind. Yep. I sent you the masturbating in a tent sketch.
Yep.
And just, there were various moments. One of their more recent sketches is literally just a recreation of The Last Supper, in which one of them is doing a silly voice, and that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's such a thin premise. And yet, you know, and one of the people I know in my life who is an Adam Sandler fan said that he just enjoys that voice that Sandler does in this movie.
Yeah, right.
Finds it funny. And I hate it. It makes my skin crawl.
Yeah.
So the extent to which you're able to pull that apart and decide why, you know, some of our comedy performers doing stupid voices makes us laugh, and some, you know, makes our skin stand on edge.
Yeah.
Can be a little hard to gauge, but it often just comes down to the extent to which you are charmed by the performer and feel like you're on board with them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad and it's annoying, but it's you can't argue with somebody's somebody's feeling. You know, in that sense, you know, I could list probably like 100 funny voices that actors return to.
Yeah.
But it's...
Bottom comes to mind.
Oh, yeah, you know, I was just going to say.
Yeah, two horrific guys. But the thing about it is that there is... The world around them is normal and hates them. You know, they are constantly... They're constantly let out by society. They're rejected by society. They're outcasts. And are ridiculous.
Yeah.
And we are there to laugh at them, but in a way that we also find them slightly endearing, which is very essential to actually staying invested in any kind of comedic characters. Yeah. You have to sort of... I mean, you know, you could trace this all the way back to Steptoe and Son.
Yeah, okay.
You know, they're grotesque figures who act despicably to each other, but also there is a love between them that you can recognize, and there is a charm to the performance that makes you want to keep watching.
Yeah.
I just don't get that with Sandler. I'm not charmed by him at all. And I don't find him funny. No. And consequently, his vehicles are just really powerfully aggravating.
Mm.
But it seems like, much to my dismay, even showing people who have only really seen Punch Drunk Love, you know, The Wedding Singer, and Uncut Gems, even showing them the worst dreck that Adam Sandler has been in, won't necessarily convert them, because they will just see it in the same way as we see Bottom. They'll just see it as that kind of, you know, sure, he's grotesque, sure, he's immature, but that's the point. And it's just like,
now
we just have to deal with that.
I would be curious to see what would happen if that person also watched Jack and Jill Grown Ups 2.
They're all the same. I don't think they're... Are they? Do you think they're worse than this?
I mean, the saturation
the amount, the quantity.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, the sheer burden of Adam Sandler's oeuvre is...
Someone could mistake this for a fluke or a miss and not be familiar with the fact that he has been reliably cranking this shit out in order to make obscene amounts of money and just extort his fans for... But then again, it's extortion to us, but to people... I don't know. These movies don't seem to make that much money. Yeah. So presumably the people who came didn't feel cheated, although the reviews and reception seems to be pretty poor. I don't
know. Yeah, but there's a lot of... there's a bunch of people like that who can just keep making movies in spite of... I get there are people who don't even bother leaving reviews who are just going to put it on Netflix and... The return.
Yeah.
I'm sure if Netflix were losing money on Adam Sandler movies, they would cancel.
Yeah.
They'd fucking, sure. These days, mate, they'd just cancel him. And that's what cancel culture means.
Old fashioned cancelled, which is the only kind of cancelled.
Glow was. But yeah. So, and you know, I still have a soft spot for things like The Wedding Singer and The Waterboy, and we've been through this
in our
Sandlathon. And, you know, if nothing else, in those movies at least, he's emotionally vulnerable or whatever. And, you know, the way he's treated by other people, and, you know, is another conversation, and we've had that. But
yeah,
even the difference between those movies and these movies are different. It's a completely new era where he can only play heroes.
You see, I see a through line there. Like, when I saw The Wedding Singer, I did find that the people around him were similarly sort of grotesque. Much less so. Mm. Less makeup effects, less weird stuff, but they all act in this over-the-top, despicable way that vindicates Sandler.
Yeah.
You know, throughout. But to be fair, his performance is more dialed down.
Yeah.
I saw Punch Drunk Love for the first time since we last recorded a Sandler thing.
Mm.
And the kindest thing I can say about it, and it's really sincere, I loved the movie.
Yeah.
And the kindest thing I can say about Sandler in that movie is I kept forgetting it was him.
Yeah, you know? 100%.
I kept forgetting that was the same guy who does all of these shit films. And I just saw him. And he played a character.
Yeah.
An actual character that I was interested in seeing. And that's really not what I usually get from Sandler.
No, and that's the... I totally get it as well. If you had only seen Punch Drunk Love, Uncut Gems, The Meyerowitz Stories... I feel like there's another one. I'm pretty sure there are. You know, if you'd only seen those, you'd think, wow, what a fucking...
What a sensitive...
Great, understated performer. That he can convey like huge amounts of pain in a single look, but he's an enigma, and I'm past the point of being disappointed in him, because that's I know and I accept that he has done some amazing work, and it's not he's a vessel for it as opposed to the brains behind it.
Yeah.
And
I'm disinclined to forgive him as well, because there's often this sort of attitude with, you know, oh, this person did this, so they get a free pass. But it's like,
there's
very little space in public consciousness and in the movies and, you know, and money in general going around. If you don't step up to the stage that is our sort of culture, the cultural institutions we have, or, you know, the cinema spaces or whatever, and have something to say, nobody owes you a paycheck.
No.
For this. You know, it's an incredibly lucky position to be in to get to express yourself this way.
Mm.
And if you do so only to spread stupidity and ignorance, then no amount of good work that you've done forgives you that.
Yeah. Something you said earlier just made it really slot into place. I think he's getting paid millions and millions of dollars to stretch his SNL sketch ideas
out to feature length.
It's incredibly cynical, and this felt like an SNL sketch, because it was the same, it was the same pitfalls as every other SNL sketch stretched out to a movie. There's one joke, and now you've got to make that 3-minute improv bit last for 2 hours. And oh God, it's tired and predictable and just more hate. It's like the less dimensional these movies get, like the more sort of diminished these movies become, the more there is only room for hate. On both sides, mine and Sandler's.
Yeah. Anyway, look, let's extremely quickly quick fire because I am now less than 8 hours away from my next podcast recording.
Okay, cool. It's a short list, so we're going to be good.
Yes. Let's quick fire. Quick fire. As mentioned, the casting of the Adam Sandler kid is quite good. I would also say that in the moment where the teacher is trying to mouth something saucy to the kid during the bar mitzvah, the rabbi thinks that she's communicating to him and has this big smile on his face that I found quite cute.
Nice. When Adam Sandler is punched by his dad in the courtroom, the punch comes from the dad who's sitting behind the camera operator. And it was a good sort of from stage right or stage left. Appearance that surprised me.
It's good stuff. When Adam Sandler asks Sandberg if he has any Axe body spray, Sandberg adopts a very deep and serious voice to say,
"No, Donnie, I don't have any Axe body spray because I'm not a fucking douchebag."
Yeah,
and it's good delivery from Sandberg.
Yeah, I would say Sandberg was for the most was hands down my favorite part of this movie.
It's heartbreaking to see him turn into Sandler by the end because there's actually an interesting guy at the beginning.
Yeah, I had the thought about halfway through of, oh, I think I know how this is going to resolve. And how it resolves is everybody become like tapers into Sandler, and that's how you survive in this world. So that was depressing.
He essentially turns into a Lonely Island character.
Yeah, that's great. So when Sandler's talking to his weird-looking accountant about why he thought he didn't have to pay tax, the accountant goes, "I told them that's what you thought, and they said that's the stupidest thing they ever heard." Mm. And yes. Yes. But also, good delivery.
It is. I like the premise of someone getting a tattoo really young but because they had an irresponsible parent, and now that their body has grown, the tattoo has distorted. That's a good premise. It gets over-explained.
It does.
But I liked the idea.
Mm. I like there's a sort of simple a reductiveness to the way Adam Sandler kept trying to explain why it was funny. Mm. That was almost good, almost charming. Sandberg says to, I think, his fiance's dad that he's like a roller coaster and he'd love to ride him all day long. And then there's a pause and then I came out weird. But the way, Sandberg's reaction to that got me. It's very good.
Another line that I thought was going to be a throwaway line and would have been much funnier if it had been and not turned into one of the worst things I've ever seen, which is the fist fight with James Caan.
Oh, yeah.
The line where he's just like,
"His father passed away.
He died in an explosion. Sounds fishy, but it really happened."
I'm truly sorry to hear that, son.
Oh, thank you, but it's fine. He deserved it, so...
Yeah.
Like, he deserved it was quite a good throwaway sort of line, but then turned into this awful thing. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Exactly. Milo Ventimiglia is in very good shape.
Who's that? Is that the army dude?
Army dude.
Ah, good.
Yeah.
Love that. I also found made a very satisfying punch sound when he punched Nick Svartzen. Also, I just enjoyed watching Nick Svartzen get punched because, my God.
Always.
Incidentally, the person I watched it with, who is a self-professed Sandler fan, found Nick Svartzen really insufferable, which bodes well for him.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
What joys await you?
Oh boy. Just one of my own. I like the reveal. So Adam Sandler is trying to get his wife actually to in a cameo, to give him some sort of happy ending in the massage situation.
Yeah.
And it's awful to watch. Really, just grotesque. And it's just sexual harassment of this woman for laughs. The then reveal that actually he's in a room with the other guys in a row is quite amusing. It's a good pullback, you know. It's the bus joke, you know, kind of pullback thing. It's good.
Yeah, I appreciated that. Andy Samberg's whole physicality around the picking up and disposing of the cummy tissues was very good.
Oh yeah,
he becomes like a marionette trying to remove these from his gummy hands.
You can love his gummy hands.
Made me laugh for the duration of that scene.
Duration. I think, who is this now?
Who is this now?
I think somebody talks... Oh, that's it. Vanilla Ice talks about... is talking about his mum. It's a throwaway line from Vanilla Ice where, you know, he's upset that his mum had sex with Adam Sandler.
As you would be.
And then coming to terms with it, he just says something like, she did like to fuck.
I think she whacked me off outside the pants. But I didn't finish. Danny, I didn't finish. Yeah. I couldn't.
Oh, Mom. Yeah, she did like to fuck.
Mums, eh?
Very shortly after that, he takes a hit from a bong, and it's all in one big long shot, and the two of them are in the foreground watching Vanilla Ice do it, and it's just after a moment, Andy Samberg just looks around in a slightly naughty way to see if anyone's looking, and that look amused me.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know the setup to this, but I think Adam Sandler's probably telling Andy Samberg some atrocious shit that he can say to his wife so that she'll finally give him a blowjob. And in that deadpan way, Samberg just goes, that's good advice. I'll tell her that. Thank you.
Okay.
Very good.
Another Samberg thing is when he gets in from his drunken, you know, bachelor party thing, he has a very good and elegant drunken step into the room.
Mm.
He kind of lunges and has to catch himself. And it was, it's good stuff.
God, I like Andy Samberg a lot, and I just wish he didn't
Samberg
do this.
Samberg does a lot of good.
Why is he?
It's a shame he did this, but it was very early in his horrible career. So, you know, he's made better decisions since, I think, although I haven't seen Popstar.
No. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about movies.
I heard good things about the time travel one.
Oh, I don't know that. No, there's no time to find out, though.
No.
I've got to get this done. Look.
Palm Springs.
I've seen that. I like that, actually. I think I mentioned that as a one better thing in a thing.
Woo!
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Consult Lucy's chart. I will say Nick Svardzin sniffing the tennis ball and wanking as he walks out of the strip club is the worst thing I've ever seen.
It's a horrible, horrible thing.
But he gets it across well.
We can all be grateful for that.
Yeah. So there's that.
What is Vanilla Ice doing in my room, says the fiancé. And although on the nose, it was quite amusing.
It's a good sentence, I think.
It is.
Inherently.
But I think Vanilla Ice's name is such that it is pleasing to have said and reminded that that's his name.
I think so. Like,
yeah.
What is Right Said Fred doing in my room?
You don't want to know.
Uh-oh. The hug and the sort of reconciliation moment, without the context of the film and just in the context of this scene, there were some really nice pauses. And some of the lines were quite nice and had the potential to feel real and human. But then, it is all undone. Ah, here we are. Samberg's, I probably would have fucked my teacher too, is not the right response to any of that either.
No, no, that's very upsetting.
Yeah, it's very much just the wrong way to go about processing any of this. And I'm sorry to someone.
So I'm sorry to everyone. You can't make Susan Sarandon not be beautiful. So I appreciated that.
Okay.
I appreciated her presence for a little bit. And I do appreciate the commitment that she put into playing a nothing character. And
True.
She manages the mannerisms of her real-life daughter, who played the teacher when she was younger.
Oh! Did wonder.
Yeah.
They look very alike.
You're going to wonder. So, that's good stuff.
Yeah, that's very good. I like the idea of Adam Sandler cautiously trying to approach her with a prosthetic nose. And Susan Sarandon just going, fuck off, Adam. Fuck off, Sandler.
Yeah. Well, one can hope.
Yeah.
Not enough to not be in the movie, though.
Oh, no. But he pays well.
He does pay well.
I still appreciated the time and the silence dedicated to the fiancé sniffing and licking the semen from the dress.
Oh, yeah, that did take a while.
It took a long time, and... Yeah. A lot more time than I was expecting Adam Sandler to dedicate to anyone else.
Yeah, more time than we had any right to expect.
Or give.
When she's caught in bed with her brother and Sandler goes to take a picture, his almost instinctive need to flex his arm for the picture was quite amusing.
Yeah,
just
I did
quick,
like that.
You know, shoot up.
Yeah.
And his facial expression of shock and shame did not change as he did so.
Yeah. It was good. Yeah. I've got the line, he's my other best friend. I don't know what that's from. maybe not even this movie, but I liked it.
Maybe not. Well, I enjoyed that. My last one is that some of the car stunts were quite good.
Stunts, yes.
Yeah.
Stunts, yes. I know Woo! Stunts.
I know stunts, and I thought this was stints.
Stints of the stunts.
The stints of the stunts were stumpy, and that's what I liked about it.
Stimp-dim.
Bye. I'm done.
Okay, me too.
Oh, okay. OT team did not come forward with admitting that they had seen That's My Boy.
Dare.
God bless them for that.
Dare.
Not after the things we've seen. So let's just get into the one better thing.
The one better thing.
And I've already mentioned mine. I think just go watch Bottom or go watch any Auntie Donna and see the direct contrast or, you know, gross out comedy I've enjoyed. I'm not a big fan of that kind of comedy on the big screen because I think it really detracts from the personality of it.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair.
To have it on such a scale. Yes. Although you can watch Guest House Paradiso, but it is not anywhere near as good or amusing as
it is inferior. The lesser Bottom.
It is. Although it does have Vincent
Van Gogh.
Van Gogh, that's the one. What's his fucking name?
Cassel.
Cassel. Vincent Cassel is in there, which you can always appreciate.
Yeah. Sorry, when you said Vincent, it took me a while to say it in the French way. Who do we know?
I'm sorry, I didn't recognize the English pronunciation.
Yeah, I think you're looking for Vincent
Cassel. I think you'll find it.
I've already mentioned one of mine, Meet the Parents. It's way more nuanced. The first one is pretty good, I think. It's been a while since I've seen it. It might have dated. You just never know with these things.
Especially comedy.
Yeah, mostly comedy. And the other thing that I was thinking of, in like similarly to Salt's Auntie Donna sketches, was Freddie Got Fingered. And why do I like Got Fingered, but not Adam Sandler? And I think you just need to listen to our episode 10, if you dare. To find out.
It is entirely down to charm often. Mm. I found Tom Green charming in ways I did not find Adam Sandler. And that's just something we all have to live with. We all have different types.
Yeah. Well, he's not a winner, is he? Gordy isn't a winner. He's not cheered by everybody all the fucking time. In the end...
No, but does he change, though? Is the question. When he gets his happy ending. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So there you go. You don't have to worry. Or think about that.
You don't have to worry about it too much.
Yay.
And that's going to do it for the one better thing.
The one better thing.
Paul, how can people find out about the great things that we've done? The mighty and tremendous countries and regions that we have conquered in the last few months.
Just check our GeoCities page, which is twitter.com/OGTpod /GeoCities.
They've retired the twitter.com.
They've retired it. It's been bought out by GeoCities, everyone. They're back.
No, it's back and it's better.
GeoCities.biz, by the way. And also Facebook, OGT Pod. You can find out about all of the calls that we put out to the OG team. So if you've seen one of these movies, such as That's My Boy, but the boat's gone for that, you just need to get in touch and respond to those tweetos. I'll say that again.
Get on those twittums.
That's very close to the mic. You got an ear full of plosive.
Tweetos. I'm Paul Toes.
I'm Tweety Toes, the Pauly Pest.
That's the Pauly Shore Adventure. And remember, the one good thing about That's My Boy is that every so often you do actually believe that Andy Samberg is better than this.